Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3. And we've been looking at verse number 13, which says, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Now, last time we started looking at the issue of the heart and what it is that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to here, and looked at how man is made up of three parts, a body, a soul, and a spirit, and how with Paul talking about the issue of the heart, he's talking about the soul and the inner man of the individual. And we left off looking at how the law, when you looked at those three parts of a man, that the law worked on trying to bring the body under subjection in order for the rest of the individual to actually follow suit. Now, when we talk about the dispensation of the grace of God, where we are today, we see how instead of focusing on the things of the body, that grace focuses on the spirit, and once the spirit gets into the place where it should be, then the rest of the individual is going to follow. Let's start here. Let's go over to the book of Philippians, and we're going to go to Philippians chapter number 2, and we're going to see Paul writing here. And we're going to read verse number 5 of Philippians chapter number 2. And it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we see a focus on the idea of the mind that the individual is supposed to have, and how it's showing that this is what was in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, speaking to believers here, telling them that this is what it is that they need to have, we see how if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul is going to say something very similar here. And this is the conclusion that he comes to after he speaks about how the spirit works in the individual. And when I'm talking about the spirit, I'm talking about, you know, part of the Godhead, and where the, and we're going to look at that, you know, coming up here in a couple minutes. But I want to just focus on the conclusion first before we actually start about looking at that process. When he says here, verse number 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So, the Apostle Paul saying that we currently have as a present possession what he identifies as the mind of Christ. And so, we can be able to access this when he says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." He tells us we have that mind. So we start putting these things together, and we can see how Paul's explaining to us, telling us what it is that we have, how it is that we are to be functioning. And as he's saying this, he is talking to those who are saved, because only a saved individual is going to be able to have this process occur, and a person is identified as having salvation the moment they put their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And once a person puts their trust in that and that alone, they have salvation today. But we see this issue of having this mind, and what Paul's making a reference to is the fact that we have a completed Word of God. That this is a present possession for us that we can use to be able to have an influence on who we are today. In fact, let's go over to Colossians chapter number 1. And we're going to see how Paul explains here what the responsibility was that he had in his ministry here. And in Colossians chapter number 1, let's read verse number 27. Actually, we're going to read we're going to start at verse 25 and read down through verse 27. It says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." We see here Paul identifying the fact that it was given to him to fulfill the word of God. And that word fulfill means to complete. So when the Apostle Paul wrote his final epistle, when he wrote 2 Timothy, that completed the word of God. So which gave us the mind of Christ that we could have to have an influence on us so that way we could have this process that he's making a reference to, that this could all occur for the individual so that way they could end up in a position to where God could see the members of the body of Christ as being pleasing unto him and doing everything that is laid out in this dispensation. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Because we're going to see here as Paul is speaking about the gifts here and laying out the timing of how the gifts are going to cease. He gives the information of what's going to cause that to happen. I'm going to start here at verse number 8 of 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to read down through the end of the chapter. It says, "Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." Now, when Paul's speaking about the gifts here, he says that they're going to be done away when that which is perfect is come. Now, so many individuals try to make this be a description of the Lord Jesus Christ returning, and that since he's perfect, that these gifts are all going to be in place until he returns. Now, that's not what Paul's making a reference to here on the idea of somebody having this, you know, relying on that which is perfect, that it's being the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the fact that we're going to have a completed word of God, which we just saw over in the book of Colossians, that once that which is perfect, the word of God is fully here, then these sign gifts are going to go away. We're going to have that information that's going to have an impact on who we are. And we've looked before at that verse here in 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to turn over to chapter 2, to where he describes this assembly here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's the word of God which is working in the individual to produce these things. It's the word of God which is going to allow for this impact to occur, for us to be able to say, okay, we are becoming exactly the way that God intends for us to be during this dispensation. It's the word of God which is going to produce what we see. Let's go over to Romans chapter number 12. That's going to produce this effect here in Romans chapter number 12. And we're going to read here the first two verses of the chapter. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word is what's going to cause us to have a transformation to actually happen. The problem that so many individuals have who are members of the body of Christ is that rather than having this transformation happen, they've become conformed to this world. They've allowed all of the things of the world system to happen to them. So that way, what's coming out of them is the things of the world and not the things of the Word of God. Not the things which is going to have the influence on their inner man. So that way, they can be living the life that God intends for them to live. And we know that God intends for us to live a life where we are doing the right thing. You know, we can go over to a passage. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 2, where we see Paul state this here. We start here verse number 8 of Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's where so many individuals stop and just talk about, well, here's our salvation. Our salvation has nothing to do with works. And Paul is clearly saying that our salvation is through faith alone. It has nothing to do with works, because that would, you know, we would be boasting about what we did and taking the focus off of what he did on the cross, because it's only what he did that can provide salvation, because he took care of the issue of sin for mankind. However, let's read verse number 10, which is because people stop at verse 9 and don't read or don't focus on verse 10, which says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God ordained that we should walk in good works. The good works should be the result of our salvation, should be the result of the transformation that's occurring by the renewing of the mind. You know, this is the practical sanctification that is occurring here, that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to show that this is what should be happening to individuals. And so many people, and especially even some who understand right division, you know, are trying to take a focus away from the idea of that we're supposed to be doing good works, and trying to say, well, you know, you try to bring legalism back into, you know, this dispensation. It's not legalism. This is what we should do. God wants us to be doing these things. Now, if we don't do them, you know, we can, you know, we still have our salvation. We just don't will not receive the rewards that we could have had if we had done the right thing, if we had done those good works that the Apostle Paul has laid out. Now, I want to go back over to the idea, and let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because I want to look at the idea of how this process actually occurs in the individual. How is somebody going to be able to demonstrate these good works? How is this establishing a happening? How is this sanctification process occurring? And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to see Paul describe this process. And we're going to start here at verse number 6, and we're going to read down through verse number 15. So verse number 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. For now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." Now, we read a lot here, and we see how Paul starts this issue talking about how there, we speak the things of the wisdom of God, you know, comparing the wisdom of God to the things of that there's a wisdom of the world, that there's information that Satan in the angelic realm that had followed him, they understood the whole prophetic program. They had no idea the mystery program that was given to the Apostle Paul. And it shows how if they had known what the cross would have accomplished, and instead of trying to have the cross happen, that Satan and those that followed him would have been trying to prevent the cross from occurring. They would have tried to say, okay, that this is, he cannot be that sacrifice. But Paul also gets into, as he's describing this wisdom, he shows how it is that the Word of God is actually having an impact, because it's the Spirit that is communicating with the Spirit that's inside of an individual, comparing the spiritual things with spiritual, so that way a person can understand what the Word of God is actually saying. This is why when we started in this message, we talked about how it's, the grace impacts the spirit of a man to bring the rest of the person under subjection, that it happens because the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is communicating with the spirit that's inside of a man, comparing the spiritual things to a spiritual set, way we can get that insight into what the Word of God actually says. Now, the only way that the comparing spiritual things with spiritual can actually happen is if a person is studying the Word of God, taking the things in, set way there's enough inside of the individual to be able to have that comparison actually occurring. So we have to be following the mandate that's given to us of study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that the issue of our study, we take in the Word of God, so that way there can be that comparison actually happening. And that's how we have that growth. That's how we come to a, a better understanding as we live our life. And we can kind of keep saying, okay, what is it that this passage is saying? Because anybody who is actually studying the Word of God, if they're honest with you, they're going to admit that they have passages that they do not fully understand what they say. And as they're studying, that all of a sudden the Spirit's going to give them that insight, is going to all of a sudden, it becomes like that light bulb going off, to where they finally say, okay, now I understand what this passage actually means. And now I can, now by understanding that, now I can start working on, looking at what other passages actually mean. That's the growth that we've, and as we get that growth occurring, that's what's going to allow for us to be doing the things that are pleasing unto God. That's why we don't have to keep focusing on just preaching messages talking about don't do this, don't do this, because we focus on building up the doctrine. So if we build up the doctrine, then you're already going to know and understand how it is that you're supposed to be living your life. Now, we'll pick up and look at some more things related to this in our next episode. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles to help you in your study of God's Word. We have some audio files of past messages. We have information on how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. We have information on how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, but anything in our broadcast, anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and